Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
The theme of the month is called Face to Face. And if you're a note taker, my message is called The Mirror. The Mirror, and the subtext of my message is, ooh, shiny. I don't know if you know people like that, but there are people who are ooh, shiny people. And when I say ooh, shiny, I mean that we're paying attention to you and we're locked in right until something else comes in the room and snatches our attention. We're with you. And let me just say this, let me make sure I clarify. When we're having a meeting with you and if you're pouring and sharing your heart, I'm not thinking about, you know, dishes or something. I'm right here. I'm with you face to face. But there's something about that whole concept of being distracted from the moment that you're in. Yeah. And when we're talking about being face to face, he said that the overarching theme of the month is being face to face, intimacy with God through the person of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about having intimacy with God through the person of the Holy Spirit. I'm a firm believer, and I think I said this even as we were worshiping today, that literally nothing else that we do, it doesn't matter if the Holy Spirit doesn't breathe into it. I mean, literally. When we're here on Sunday morning and we have these songs, and I hopefully you guys enjoy what we do and you sense the atmosphere and all the things. But I said it before, literally our worship is just karaoke if we don't have the infusion of the Holy Spirit. You might as well just go to a bar on a Friday night and pick out your favorite country song or whatever else and do your karaoke thing. But with the Holy Spirit's power and his presence and his breathing into something, circumstances change. People's lives are impacted when you are cognizant of the fact that the Holy Spirit is the life that's on the inside of us. And that's why when you come into this building, if you're newer or you've been here forever, I'm always going to take time for the Holy Spirit to just speak in that moment. I'm okay. I'm actually really, and one of the things I got to do while I was there in London, they have, a fantastic church, a great team, an awesome band. But what I've been finding, especially in these recent times, the advent of technology can be both a blessing and a curse. Technology is such a great tool. We are all about technology. We love it here. We utilize it. It's one of the greatest things that you can have. But I've seen in this current season, I've seen so many times where oftentimes a church will, I don't want to say it too harsh, but sometimes in this generation, it's easy for us to almost program the Holy Spirit out of the service. Does that make sense? Like, you're so good. Like, if you notice, like, we have our songs and they're all set and we have an order and we're using what we call stems right now. I don't care. I don't mind making mention of it. You know, a lot of times when people are out and we've got different, thank God for technology. But I told my team, there will never be a day where you walk in this service and we have church and we're going through our four songs and we don't give the Holy Spirit room to just breathe in a moment and take a second, because it's those times and it's those places where we are the most impacted. Say amen. Amen. Now, the scripture that we're going to use for the rest of the day is in James chapter 1. And James chapter 1 is a really incredible story. I've never seen it this way before. So I'm going to teach a little bit more. I'm a little more sedate today than I sometimes can be. We'll see what happens. But James chapter 1 in the Passion Translation says this. It says, don't just listen to the word. There you go. Don't just listen to the word of truth and then not respond to it. For that is the essence of self-deception. So always let his word become like poetry. I love that. Become like poetry written and fulfilled by your life. It's like this very poetic kind of way of saying all of it. I love that our lives are a part of this story that God's interweaving. Let it become a part of this life. If you listen to the word and don't live out the message you hear, you become like the person who looks in the mirror of the word to discover the reflection of his face in the beginning. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word, but then, ooh, shiny. You go out and you forget your divine origin. Here's the part I want you to see. It says, but those who set their gaze deeply into the perfecting law of liberty. Somebody say liberty. The law is not meant to restrict you. It's meant to give you freedom. So if you set your gaze, you set your gaze deeply into the perfecting law of liberty and are fascinated by, and you respond to the truth that you hear and are strengthened by it, those people will experience, watch this, God's blessing in all that they do. That's another good amen point. Father, bless today. We already sent your word in your presence. In Jesus' name, we thank you right now. Amen. Now, let me show you the backstory. So it's important. I love history. I love hearing, like, what makes people who they are. I'm a fan of figuring out what makes you tick. If you've been around me any length of time, at some point, I'm going to ask you, hey, tell me a little bit about you. What's your family like? What's your background like? What's your history like? So the important part of James chapter 1 is his backstory. And you'll find in the New Testament, you're going to hear an account of there's five different Jameses that are mentioned in the New Testament, two of which were actually a part of Jesus's 12 disciples or apostles. So James was a very common name throughout the Bible. What I didn't realize is that the James who wrote this book was not necessarily the Apostle James, but it was James who was the brother of Jesus. Now, we're talking about being face to face. We're talking about intimacy. We're talking about the proximity between you and the presence of God, the presence of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. This is James, the brother of Jesus. How many of you would figure then that as Jesus's brother, James probably had some pretty good proximity to Jesus, right? He probably had some FaceTime with him. And I love the Bible because when you start looking into it deeper, it's like it's real people. It's real stuff. Like he writes these stories. The stuff that made it into these pages are things that the Holy Spirit of God wanted us to see. So when you dig into it and you say, oh, that's Jesus's brother. That's a dude who spent time with him. I don't know if he was his older or younger brother. I didn't see that historically. But you know, when you've been around your family and your siblings and whatnot, you know about each other. You know how to get on each other's nerves. Right? You know the exact button to push. And if you're in my house, you know the exact button to push that will also result in you getting a whooping. Fighting. You know, right? You know, you have relationship, the brother, sister, sibling rivalry, all the things. So think of this. This is James writing in this passage saying, I want you to understand that the words that you hear, you don't just hear them, but you follow them. You walk them out. The other thing that's important about this passage is you see that James, it says to us, those don't just listen to the word of God and then not respond to them. In that time, if you understand that there wasn't a whole lot of people who had access to written texts. Think about that. This is before the Bible was the Bible. They had the first five books, you know, the Pentateuch and so on. But most people didn't have access to a written text of the Bible. Break that down. Isn't that cool? You think about that. So when they would come and gather in these assemblies, and all these people would be together, that spoken word was so important. People had to hear, they had to receive, they had to deposit it, they had to set it depth in the depths of their hearts, and they had to be people who didn't just get the surface of it, but let it really get ingrained into who they are by hearing the word. Here's the other part I want you to see about this passage. And I never saw this until I started studying this verse. James was one of the people who didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. James, his brother, who's in his house, who had to be in close proximity to watching him do miracles and seeing the signs and watching him be raised up as a kid and going through learning how to teach, and the times when they'd find him, remember, because that passage where it talks about Jesus was lost or left, he wasn't lost, he knew exactly where he was, but Jesus was in the synagogue and he was doing with teachers and preachers, and his mom is looking for this 12-year-old kid. Something about that season, and I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was sibling rivalry. I don't know if it was the fact that maybe James, by seeing this perfection of a human being, had to look himself in the mirror and see his own imperfections. Come on. Right? You're the one who, you know, you're the teacher's pet. Everybody likes you. Kids love you. Pets like you. you know, this is Jesus. So imagine being in the shadow of Jesus. I mean, imagine being LeBron James Jr. Imagine what that must be like. I mean, the pressure, the stuff that has to be there because you're the brother of the King of the universe. It goes on even to say, I won't spend time in it, but in John chapter 14, in John chapter 6, down at the bottom, it says, what then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It's the Spirit of God who gives life. But it says, but there were some, in verse 64, I know I'm jumping around, but verse 64 says this, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe and who would betray him. If you go to John chapter 7, verse 1, stay with me. John chapter 7, verse 1, it says this. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. And verse 5 says this. For even his brothers did not believe him. I'm challenging you with this thought today, because I find it very interesting that every single one of you is hearing the exact same words that I'm speaking this morning. I'm challenging you because every single one of you are in this exact same room and proximity. The challenge is all of us, every one of you, were right here when we were singing, I just want you. And nothing else will do. I just want you, right? You're all in the same proximity. And I find it fascinating as a pastor that so many times different people get different things. I find it fascinating that oftentimes the spirit and the atmosphere and the attitude and the thing that's in a room, the thing that visits us, the thing that sits in this space, it really genuinely is contingent upon what you do or not do. Ah. And this is not correction, but this is me telling you the beauty of the opportunity for every single one of you to get something specific out of the Spirit of God, out of the Word of God, in the presence of God. I'm so grateful that as a pastor, it's not my job to get yours for you. Whew. Pressure off, man. But what I'm going to do is we're going to serve up an atmosphere for you to come in and have a moment of faith. We're going to serve up an atmosphere for you to come in and let what's inside of you be stirred up so that you know that you can believe. We're going to come in and we're going to show you a mirror. And we're going to give you a chance to say, God, what might you want to do inside of me? As you look at this passage in James, you find that it's interesting because James is saying at before, let's go ahead and read it again. James chapter 1, verse 22. Don't just listen to the word of truth and then not respond to it, for that is the essence of self of deception. So always let the word become like poetry, written and fulfilled by your life. If you listen to the word and don't live out the message you hear, you become like a person who looks in the mirror of the word of God to rediscover his reflection in the beginning. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word, but then you go out and forget what your divine origin was. I heard somebody give this example, and he said, in James chapter 1, it would be like you going into a full-length mirror, right? And you've got a meeting in 25 minutes, and you got your suit on, you got everything on that you need, and there is a great big, let's call it, what did I have to eat? Let's call it, there's a great big old marinara stain right in the middle of your shirt. I just had Paisanos the other day, it was really good. So there's a great big old marinara stain right in the middle of your shirt. You see the stain, you notice the stain, you walk out of the room and you go to your meeting without doing anything about the stain. It's ridiculous, right? That's like hearing the word and not following what the word of God says. You tracking with that? So it's saying here, listen, when God is challenging you with something and when God is saying, hey, I know some of the toughest places in our lives are the spaces where we are comfortable enough to literally look in the mirror and say, God, okay, then what might it be that you want to work in me? What might it be? Why am I so passionate about this? And I won't go into details because it's not, you know, it's not for public consumption. But a big part of what I spent time doing recently was assessing a situation or situations, finding out what the fruit was in those situations, and then being able to come back to a specific person, people, individuals, whatever, and saying, listen, God loves you. Your team loves you. The people around you love you. But hold up. If you keep showing up at the scene of the crime, it might be you. Is that okay? Right? Have you ever noticed that? Like, if you keep showing up to the scene of the situation, then maybe God is saying, hey, I need you to go ahead and look in the mirror and not just be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. Yeah, this is good news. You know why it's good news? Because we can't earn God's grace, his love, his forgiveness. It's already given to us freely. It said that this law of liberty, the law of liberty means freedom. It means it's not this bondage. It means it's not chains that are holding on to you. But the best part of this to me is if you have ever found yourself going around the same circle over and over and over again. Am I talking to anybody? You ever been stuck and you can't figure out like how to get past this moment that I find myself in, like Groundhog Day, you know, like it's the same spot and you're like, I don't know. Sometimes I believe by the grace and the Spirit of God, sometimes it's God saying, let me show you who you are. I know that seems a little heavy, but the simple truth is, I'm excited to see people walk in freedom. Yeah. I'm excited to see people walk and living their best life. This is not a word of condemnation, like, oh God, now what am I supposed to do, Lord? I'm looking in the mirror and the mirror looks crazy what I see. No. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is this passage, James, who had proximity to Jesus, for whatever reason, had a season where he didn't believe. Isn't that crazy? James, the Bible tells us it probably wasn't until Jesus had, watch this, Jesus had done his full earthly ministry. He'd healed, he'd raised people from the dead, he'd seen seasons and things happening around him. James still didn't believe. There were times, obviously, in Jesus' 3 years strength of ministry, that there had to be, there's a verse in the Bible that says, if all of the tales and the things that Jesus did were contained, they couldn't be contained or written in the pages of books. It's too much stuff. So James had to have experienced some of that, yet for whatever reason, he did not believe. The Bible tells us that it was probably about the time that Jesus died, buried, resurrected, ascended, and then came back to the earth and showed himself again to his brother James, that James caught on and started to believe. Now, please don't let it be said that Jesus got to show you miracles, die, go to the cross, die, be buried, resurrected, go away, and then come back before you believe. He wants you to believe. He wants you to see yourself like he sees you. He wants you to be able to grab a hold of the fact that when you look in the mirror and you've come into the presence of God and you've submitted and surrendered your heart to him, you know what he sees? He sees the blood of Jesus. That's what he sees. He sees the cleansing power of his blood, that you don't have to come to him like a beggar or like somebody that doesn't have access or the right to who he is. Come on, somebody. You can come boldly. You're a son. You're a daughter. You're an heir. You have the promises of God. This is the good news of this passage. He's saying, when you're looking in a mirror, I don't want you to have a distorted view of who it is that I've made you to be. But you gotta sometimes stop and take the inventory. I'm thinking about my family. Guys, we were all raised in the same exact household. Had the same mama. We went to the same churches. We all sat in church for 17 hours on Sundays. For the love of Jesus. Right? I was 10 years old. I was like, I want to go play, man. But we were all in the same environment. Isn't it interesting how it took? And thank God, to the praise and glory of God, all of my immediate siblings are serving the Lord today. Woo! That's been a prayer. Now I got some nephews that I'm coming after. And I know you're watching Unc, so he's coming to get you. See you at Thanksgiving. but it took some of my family the harder road to get to the place where they just said, okay, I surrender. I give up. I surrender. God, I want this face to face with you. I surrender. Jesus, I know I've seen what you do, and I don't know what it is that kept him from being in that spot. But eventually James said, I surrender. And the last thing I want to end on is this. In John chapter 14, it's a great, great promise. Because what we don't want to let happen is distractions keep us from truly seeing all God wants us to see. God, I don't want the distraction of pending partnerships. Let me see how I can say this. We were, again, just kind of dealing with some situations where there was some moving of relationships and entering into partnerships. And I just said, guys, it is so vital that the people you couple your life with and the people that you do covenant with have the same principles and values that you do. Amen. I don't know who that's for. If you're heading into business, if you're heading into a relationship, if you're heading into times where there's going to be closeness and intimacy and things, and I don't mean physical or sexual or whatever, I just mean like if there's times where you're going to need to trust somebody and to really connect, and I hate to say it, but just because they are a church member doesn't mean that that's the right person for you to have a covenant with. I couldn't even say the word. Yeah, it's important. It's important. As we're walking into this thing and watching James make these decisions, I realized, like, God, I want to make sure that my distractions in my life, I can be very distracted. Like, I really can. I can be in a meeting, and in my brain, I hear songs, you know? And I, that's what I do when I'm meeting. That's how I wrote "Won't Hold Back My Praise." I won't hold back my, you know? The harder your stomach is, the deeper the bass is. Thanks, man. So it's easy for me to get, as a creative, like my mind can be all over the place. But when you dial in to the things of God, I never want all the stuff to distract me from remembering who he called me. I'm his son. Not a beggar. I don't have to come in here wallowing and crawling. I come in standing upright before a father who loves me, before a father who wants the best for you. So I'm challenging you today. That's the God that we're talking about. That's the one that we're talking about being face to face with. That's the one that we're talking about being willing to surrender to. I don't know why it took James so long to just say, okay, God, my answer is yes. My answer is I trust you. I believe you. I don't know why it took James that time, but here's the promise that we end on in John chapter 14. It says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Another version says a friend. You'll ask a father, and he will give you a friend who will never leave you. Somebody say amen. Amen. And this is what we're talking about this whole month. He is the Holy Spirit. He leads you into all truth. The world can't receive him, but because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, here's the part that we land on. But you can know him because he lives with you now. This is then, but now, later, he will be in you, which is now. Because he lives with you, that's when he was talking then, now, and later, he will be in you, which is right now. In other words, he was with them in the Old Testament until the Holy Spirit came to the earth. Now he's in us. He's inside of us. He's empowering us to make the right choices. He's empowering us to leave aside the stuff that becomes weights from our past. He's empowering us to say, okay, God, I know that I've been this way for 53 years, but you can still change, give an old dog some new tricks. Come on. Come on. I know this has been my lifestyle for as long as I can remember, but you can still help me to change. I know that that's been my propensity, that that's been the label that I've had on myself, but God, the Holy Spirit, is not just on me. He's in me to help me walk this thing out. I feel like today, And I haven't done this in a while, but I feel like today that there are people who are in a cycle. And I know it by the Spirit of God. I know it like I know my name. I feel like there have been some of you who have been caught in this cycle of, it's just who I am, it's where I've been, I don't know how to see past this moment, I've done all that I know to do, you know, I've looked in the mirror and I'm distracted, you know, all the stuff, and I'm telling you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God wants you to know that there's liberty in him. There's freedom in him. I had one of the best conversations I've ever had. And again, he might be watching too. But it was really cool to be able to look in the eye of somebody who's been doing it a long time, been in the kingdom of God, and he was just ready to see something shift in his life. And I never go to a place like I'm the big boss expert, like I got all the answers. Because I got my own set of problems. I'll be fooling with y'all stuff. Just kidding. Sort of. I got my own stuff. But I love the fact that some of the things that now God has positioned us to speak into some. How many of you know it's a little, sometimes maybe it's a little easier to swallow when it's somebody who's kind of walking the same road as you, right? There's a relatability. And so I found myself just really losing the patience to sugarcoat things. And that's why I love my job, because I get to make y'all smile and dance and worship God, and then I don't have a problem letting you know the truth. Just don't. I don't have the energy to go around the block and talk and, you know, all the stuff. Let's get to what we need to get to. So this conversation was awesome. And it was in a really cool pub. London pub. Y'all like, what was you drinking? It was a cool place. We'll just leave it at, no, just kidding. It was cider for me, actually, but I was able to have this moment and saying, hey, man, you understand that the Holy Spirit that we're singing about, all the things, that he literally can still help you change even after you've been doing this thing for a long time. Yeah, so if you've been in the same cycle, I mean, you're just like, I don't know how to get off of this same wheel. I'm here to tell you that the Holy Spirit is not just on you. He's in you. And he can help you. And if you keep showing up at the scene of the crime, then he really wants to help you. And you're getting your freedom ultimately isn't not just being about you being free. But here's the ultimate picture. Then our freedom helps somebody else get free. Amen. Then our breakthroughs help somebody else to say, oh, he did it. That old dog changed some tricks. Let's see. I bet you I can. And then there's this movement of, some of you have loved ones that you're still believing for. And maybe you all had the same proximity to where Jesus was. I believe that the Holy Spirit has the power to change hearts and lives. Oh, he's so good, man. I love him so much. I'm so mindful of him. He's not weird. It's not spooky. It's not some unattainable thing that we have because we're on the platform. No, the Holy Spirit wants to help you make your decisions. Every time I get on an airplane and I'm flying into these countries and doing what God's put on our lives to do, the first thing I do when we land, I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, I am not smart enough, fast enough, sharp enough. I can't do anything to deposit into these people. But if you'll say, breathe through me, you'll give me the words to say, you'll put me in the right scenarios, you'll connect me with the right people. Some of you need that for your jobs. You need that for your families. You need that for your loved ones. You need that for decisions you're making about, I keep saying this, about relationships. You need that. You need those things. Don't partner with somebody who doesn't have that same spiritual pulse and radar. That is for somebody. Maybe it's a business. I don't know what it is, but Holy Spirit won't let me get away from that. So, Father, I thank you that today is a day where we say yes. Go ahead and play, Brandon, if you would. Today is a moment where we decide to go ahead and look in the mirror. And thank you that that mirror is not a distorted view. It's a view of your presence, of your presence. It's a view of the blood of Jesus that washes us clean. It's a view that says we're your sons and your daughters. It's a view that allows us to know when we're looking in that mirror, God, the word of God tells us that we're heirs of the promises of heaven. It's a view that says, Holy Spirit, you're living in us and you're helping us to do what we need to do to make good choices. It's you. You're welcome here. You're welcome here. Paul said, I don't come with enticing words. I say the wrong stuff half the time I'm preaching. But we come with demonstration and the power of the Holy Spirit to see things move. And just like that relationship I had a chance to talk to, and just like seeing him say that I know that I can let the Holy Spirit work in me, God, you're doing it, that same thing right here in this room right now. I know it by the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I don't know if it's a business. I don't know if it's a, I don't know. Maybe you're shifting jobs or something. But I'm telling you, there are somebody and maybe several somebodies in here who are about to enter into, maybe you're in the first phases of a relationship and you need to know that the Holy Spirit is going to lead you the right way. If that's you, lift up your hands. I'm going to pray for you. Okay, there's several of you. I see you. I see you. Keep it high. Now, Father, I thank you that when you say something like that, you're not letting me get away from it for a reason. So, God, I ask you to give them wisdom for the right people, the right scenario, the right covenant. Lord, I thank you that you're the one who leads us and guides us, Holy Spirit, with wisdom and instruction and grace and peace. And Lord, I just thank you that you'll let them find the peace of God to be their umpire as they're making that commitment in whatever that relationship and connection is, in Jesus' name. Keep your heads bowed if you would. Father, you know what you wanted to say through me today, so I pray that it landed where it needed to. But Lord, if there are those in this room under the sound of my voice, and I know that there are, who have found themselves, I think Pastor Richard preached last week and said about people who had been lost their breath, that spirit of Python was choking them out. Now that you've gotten their lungs open, God, I'm asking you, those in this building or maybe by live stream who have been on this cycle that they cannot seem to get off of, God, I thank you for breaking that now in Jesus' name. If that's you, lift up your hands. I'm praying for you. I see you. I see you. I see you and you and you and you and you. Yep, I see you. Father, I thank you. You promised us the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. Lord, we see in that mirror, and we won't be a one who sees the stain and goes away and does nothing. God, it's not in our own works. It's not in our ability to do or not. But God, all we have to do is surrender to you. So Lord, as their hands are lifted, I pray for those who've been in that cycle. And I thank you, God, that even today, in a simple message like this morning, they would have the hope and the expectation that that cycle can be broken. And God, there can be a new way of walking. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Did y'all get something out of that today?
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you.